thank the Lord for the opportunity to come out here, and I always feel at home coming down here to Sulphur, and I just enjoy being able to be with you and always have a good time here. And I don't know, this message really stuck with me this week. I really enjoyed studying on this message, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you this morning. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel. We're going to start in chapter 17. Start about verse 19. I desire this message to be a blessing to you. We just got done singing about how God was counting on Paul to do a work. And He counts on each and every one of us to do our part, to do our work that He's called us to do. And I'm glad that we have a Lord, we have God in heaven cheering us on. Amen. We're not alone. Elijah one time was in the back side of a cave, and he began to feel like he was all alone, began to complain to the Lord, and talk to the Lord about how he was the only prophet left and how Jezebel and Ahab had slain all the prophets. God said, no, that's not so. I've got 7,000 other men. It's not bow the knee to Baal. And basically, he was telling Elijah, Elijah, I'm counting on you to go preach my word, to go spread the gospel, to go spread the word of the Lord. And we see, we talk about rain this morning. Elijah, amen, one time prayed for rain, and it rained not for 3 years. And then he prayed for it to rain again, and then all of a sudden a big downpour came. And I think it was 3 years long as well. Amen. But God is counting on each and every one of us to do the work that He set forth for us to do in our hearts. Sometimes it's hard to find out what that work is. Amen. But maybe by the time this message is over with, we'll have a greater understanding of how to find God's work in our life and what we should be doing. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 19. Well, I've got quite a bit of reading here to do, but just bear with us this morning. It says, Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines and spoke according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Let's get down here to about verse 28, talking about his brothers here, David's brothers. It says, and Eliab, the eldest brother, heard what he spake unto the men. And Eliab answered, his anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what now have I done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And when I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth, when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing as he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, and he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor. Listen to this, very important. Saul armed David with his armor and put it on a helmet of brass upon his head. And he armed him also with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. He hesitated, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand. And he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David. And the man that bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the enemy to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now, that's as far as we're going to read. There's a little bit of backstory that goes along with this, talking about how different David had said certain things, and Goliath had said certain things. You can go back and read the whole chapter to find that out. But the point is that Goliath was a man who defied the armies of Israel. He was the champion of the Philistines at this time. The Bible says he's about 6 cubits in a span. That translates to about 9.5 feet with another 3/4 on top of that. He was about 10 feet, just about as big a man as you'd ever seen. Amen. And he was a gigantic man of a great stature. Amen. His armor was so heavy. He had to have a man to bear just the shield portion of it. Amen. And he had all this armor on, all this chainmail, this helmet, all this other stuff. This sword that was in his sheath. Amen. It was a great amount of weight. He was a huge man. Amen. And sometimes in life we go up against huge things. Amen. And I believe the Lord wants us to give us a message this morning. Amen. About being able to stand against these things. Amen. But as we read along, we find out that David, the Bible says that Jesse, his father, had told him to go take some food. Amen. To the camp and to the people that were fighting, maybe give them some strength, and he wanted to hear how they were doing. So David went, he left his sheep with a keeper. Amen. And he went to the battle and he found out that there was this man, Goliath, making all kinds of ruckus, all kinds of threats against Israel. He began to ask the people, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine?" And they began to ask, they began to tell him that Saul promised his daughter, he promised free from taxes, promised all these different things. Amen. But I believe that didn't satisfy David. He asked about 2 or 3 more times, "What shall be done to the man that'll kill this Philistine?" Amen. I believe he had a heart for God. Amen. And he didn't want to see Israel outdone by this man who claimed to be such a big champion. He faced opposition as he went out against these. As he went to do his job, there was some opposition there. Amen. The Bible said Jesus talked about, amen, how a prophet's not without honor save his own country and the enemies, being the enemies of his own household. We find here that David's brother in verse 28 alive, his eldest brother, his older brother, began to scold him, began to rebuke him and said, "I know your prideful heart. You just come out here to see the battle." And David said, "Hey, what are you accusing me for? Is there not a cause? Is there not something worth fighting for out here? Amen. I'm just not a bread delivery boy. I've got a heart for Israel." Amen. And we go on down and we find out. David tells Saul a story. He tells him, "Don't be worried. Don't be afraid. Thy servant," he's talking about himself, "I'll go out and I'll slay this Philistine." Oh, and Saul, another piece of opposition, didn't have the faith. He was the king of Israel. By this time, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Amen. The anointing had departed. He had disobeyed God, and the kingdom was taken from him and was just anointed upon David. Just a few pages before this, a chapter or two before this, Samuel had anointed David to be king of Israel. That's very important. Amen. Because David, right now, we find David about to step into the role as king. Amen. He may just be a little shepherd boy. Amen. But he's got a job to do, and he's got a heart for the nation of Israel to do it. And it said here, after he began to talk to Saul, he said, amen, he began to talk to Saul. He said, here's a story I want to tell you. You don't think I'm able to go out against this Philistine, but I've got a story to tell you. He said, thy servant went out. Amen, he was watching the sheep, and there came a lion. And not only that, there came a bear. Amen, and took a lamb out of the flock. I'm reminded of when Jesus said, the 99, amen, were on a hillside, wherever they were. Amen. There was one that left the flock. And amen, the shepherd went out after that. He left the 99 to find the flock, the one that was left behind. Amen. That's exactly what David did here. Hey, the bear and the lion took a single lamb. No telling how multitudes of sheep he had. But that one lamb mattered to David. As the shepherd and Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, just one lamb matters to him in the kingdom. He said, there came a lion, and then there came a bear, and they threatened the fold of God. They threatened the shepherd, the sheepfold. And he began to say, I went out after him, and I smote him and delivered that lamb out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and I smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this old uncircumcised Philistine basically was calling, he's not a Jew, he's just an old Gentile, he's not one of the favored nations and genealogies of the Lord. He'll just be just like one of these lion or bear, seeing as he's defied the armies of the living God. He's basically telling Saul, God gave me the strength to defeat a lion, the strength to defeat a bear. Amen, just for one little old lamb, just imagine how much strength he must have had. I believe, amen, the strength of Samson must have come on him that day. Amen, as he went out to chase the bear and the lion. Amen, you and me, just as frail as we are, we see a bear coming toward us or a lion coming toward us. Hey, man, I believe we'll kick up dust and leaves and everything to get away from that thing. But no, not the shepherd. Amen. The shepherd went out after them. He had a job to do. He cared for the sheep. And he went out and got after that lion and bear. Amen. And he slew them both. Caught them by the beard. You imagine taking a lion by its mane. Amen. You imagine how dangerous that is. But God got upon him, the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Fell down upon him. And he grabbed both of them. And the Bible says he slew them. And he said, this uncircumcised Philistine will be just as one of them. Amen. I want you to notice here, there's a spiritual parallel I begin to ponder on as I read this. Amen. We see David as a shepherd of his father's sheep. He was also keeping his brother's sheep. Amen. He begins to tell a story of the lion and the bear coming after that. David was a shepherd of the sheep. That was his primary occupation. Goliath was making fun of him. He was might say, insulted. But they'd send a nice old good-looking lad. Amen. Probably clean-shaven. Said he was fair to look upon. He was ruddy. He was just a little runt. Just a little bitty old run of the flock himself. And he was insulted that he would come out against him. But David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul was convinced. He said, go, and the Lord be with thee. But he wasn't really convinced because he began to put all this heavy armor on him. Now, David was not a man of war from his youth like Goliath was. He was just a shepherd boy. He just knew how to keep the flock. He knew how to tend to the flock and feed the flock. But thank God he also knew how to protect the flock. Amen. It wasn't that David was an army man. It wasn't that he was a military man, that he was able to defeat the lion and the bear. Amen. It was the fact that he was a protector of the sheep. He was a shepherd. He was in charge. Amen. And God gave him that authority, amen, to watch over the flock. And whatever came their way, he had the authority, invested in him by God to be able to take care of that situation. Amen. The Bible says Saul began to arm David with his armor. And he put a big old, listen to all this, a big helmet of brass upon his head. And he armed him with a coat of mail. And David, he girded a sword upon his armor. And you imagine, I told you about all this armor on Goliath was heavy. Well, they say some of that stuff that you wear in battle weighs about 50, 60 pounds, maybe even more. You got to go out in all this gear and everything. And David wasn't used to that. He was able to defeat the bear without all that. He was able to defeat the lion without all that. What made Saul think he needed that to defeat this old Philistine? So David essayed to go. He was hesitant. He was really hesitant about going with this armor. Why is that? Because it said he'd not proved it. Oh, how many times have we put on armor and we've not proved? How many times in life we begin to do things, we begin to get involved in things just because somebody else says it looks good. Somebody else says, oh, this is what you need. This is how everybody else is doing it. Amen. But you got to find out within your heart, have you proved that yet? David said, I cannot go. I can't go with all this armor. I've not proved them. I've not tested them out. Amen. It's too dangerous to go out there with untested armor on. And David put them off. But here's the important part. I want you to notice what David did take. There's five S's that David took. First of all, he took his staff in his hand. Then he took five smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in his shepherd's bag. Even in a scrip, it says. And his sling was in his hand. Five S's that David used to defeat the Goliath. The giant man who's about 10 feet tall. Probably muscular as all get out. Amen. It's probably his leg was probably about the size of half of me. He's probably as tall as me. I'm 5'9", 5'10". He's twice my size, people. He's this high. I mean, he's past the ceiling. Stand on the floor, his head probably goes past the ceiling. This is the kind of man that he was going up against. And all David took was a shepherd's gear. That's all he had. Why? Because he proved those things. He proved them against the lion. He proved them against the bear. And he wasn't going out to fight the Philistine in a matter of the way that they was usually fighting, in a matter as armies fight against each other. He was going out as a shepherd, back to going against a wolf, going against a bear, going against a lion. He was going out in the name of a shepherd. That's why he took his staff. Goliath asked the man, who do you send me out here? Am I a dog that you send me out with staves? That's the only other mention of David having his staff in this battle. When he went against David, when he went against Goliath, he had that sling and he took him down with a sling on one of the stones from the brook. It never mentions the staff after that. Here's why. The staff in the Bible is a great thing. It represents power. It represents a lot of things. One of the things it represents, amen, is identity. Amen. And David's identity at this time was a shepherd. He took what he knew. He took what was in his hand. Amen. His identity as a shepherd. And he says, I'm going to go out against the Philistine. I'm going to go out against the man that defies the armies of the living God. Amen. For exactly as God has called me to be. People are trying to go out in the mission field on someone else's calling. Amen. You need to go out on what God has called you to do. It's a personal thing. It's something between you and the Lord. Amen. And I don't care how spiritual your mommy, your daddy, your grandpa, your grandma are. They can't tell you your calling and you exactly know exactly what it is. You got to hear it from the Lord. Amen. My dad has been a preacher ever since I've been young. Amen. But my daddy never told me I'd be a preacher. Amen. I never heard it from nobody else except for maybe in passing just as a little, you know, maybe just a little murmur. You'll be a preacher one day. I've hardly ever heard that. I had to come to that realization myself. The Lord got all over me. And I couldn't go to church without seeing myself up there behind the pulpit when somebody else was preaching. That's how I knew God called me to preach. I had to find that out for myself. The Bible says every man needs to work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. Saul couldn't work out David's, not with his armor by far. David knew what he was in God. He was a shepherd, and he was going out, amen, to save the flock. He hadn't took a lamb from the flock yet, but he was threatening to take every one of them and put them into bondage. David said, enough is enough. He took that staff in his hand, And he was the shepherd. The shepherd goes out and he takes care of the sheep. Amen. He goes out and he makes sure the sheep is in good condition. And he fights for those sheep. And we find later on that David took that sling in his hand. Amen. He was able just with a smooth stone fling that thing in the middle of Goliath's forehead, and Goliath tumbled down. David fought for Israel that day. Not in his own strength, but in the name of the Lord. He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear in your hand, defying the living God, the armies of the living God, but I'm going to come to you in the name of the Lord. And the Lord's not only going to give you into my hand, He's going to give you and all of your armies into our hand. David was a shepherd. He was not only a shepherd, but he was a shepherd who cared for the sheep. David, at that point in time, took his staff in his hand. He was already anointed king, but now he was coming into the kingdom. He was becoming a king right before their very eyes, and he didn't need a bunch of armor to do it, didn't need a sword to do it. He just needed to be who God called him to be. God anointed him when he was a shepherd, and God could use him as a king when he was a shepherd. Like I said, the shepherd cares for the sheep. John chapter 10. Jesus begins telling them about the good shepherd. He begins telling them about how the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth to his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. David was becoming a shepherd of a brand new flock. He was no longer going to watch sheep, he was going to watch people. Amen. And when they began to see what he was going to do against a Goliath, they never forgot it, and they began to know his voice. And when he began to speak, they began to hear his voice. They began to follow. Jesus said, a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You see, Saul here, Saul was a man who was anointed king. He was basically voted into the kingdom by the people. Before Saul, there were judges. And before that, God himself reigned over the earth. But we find that God appointed these judges, but God did not necessarily appoint Saul. Israel began to see all the different nations having a king, and they wanted one for themselves. I believe Saul, in this sense, was a hireling. He was somebody that was hired to be king. Here's what we'll find out about hireling. John chapter 10 again, verse 7. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and shall find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and destroy. I am come that may I might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Just as Jesus gave his life on Calvary, David was willing to risk his life against the bear, the lion, and Goliath. Saul was not willing to do that. Here's what Saul was in verse 12. But he that is an hireling, somebody that was hired to do a job, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of them. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Saul was a hireling. He was somebody that didn't really care about the sheep. It said here, the hireling leaves the sheep and the wolf cometh. Amen. The wolf wasn't mentioned there in David, but if David and Goliath, but if I was to liken Goliath to anything, an animal, it would be a wolf. The wolf was threatening to come in and scatter the flock. And it said here, the hireling flees and the wolf comes in and he scatters the flock. But amen, thank God there was one that wasn't a hireling. Amen. He was just a little old shepherd boy, but he had a fire burning down deep in his soul. Amen. And a fire for the people of God, a fire for his nation. Amen. And he was willing to go do whatever it took because he had the heart of a shepherd. He was the newly anointed king, and he rose up to the occasion with great pride, with great rejoicing. Amen. Saul couldn't do that. The Spirit of the Lord had already departed from him. Amen. He began to defy God in the same sense. He was disobedient to God when God told him to do things. He was burning sacrifices. It was no business burning because that's a priest's job. He was greedy. He began to be greedy for things. God couldn't use a man like that. He was a hireling. David was the good shepherd. Bible says, now I want you to notice this. David was the shepherd. The son of David, Jesus, is the good shepherd. Amen. Just as David fought for Israel, the son of David, Jesus, fought for us. Spiritual battles, which we're not even aware of, we can't even comprehend. Amen. The Bible talks about principalities and spiritual warfare and wickedness in high places. There's another kind of armor that fits us just right, each and every one of us. And you'll find it over in Ephesians chapter 6, it's the whole armor of God. Paul tells us to be shod with the whole armor of God. You see, the armor of God is light. Jesus said, my burden is light. Amen. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, for I am meek and lowly. My burden is light. Amen. And the armor of God fits everybody perfectly. But best of all, the armor of God has been proven. Century after century, time after time. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the Lord, the helmet of salvation. Amen. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The loins girt about with truth. The breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. All these pieces of the armor have been proven and tested throughout generations. And always coming up victorious. We don't need the world's armor. We don't need the world's doctrines. We don't need the world's philosophies. We need the Lord. We need to shod ourselves with the armor of God and realize that there is a good shepherd in heaven above looking out for each one of his sheep who loves each and every one of his sheep. And I'll close with this. David knew all about being a shepherd. He was a shepherd as a young man. He was out watching the sheep when Samuel was starting to try to get the next king in line. All of his brethren lined up, but God said there's not one of these that's going to be king. You're looking on the outside, Samuel. God looks on the heart. Ask if this all the sons are present. He began to ask Jesse, and he said, well, I've got one little run of the family. He's out watching the sheep. Samuel said, go fetch him, bring him here. We're not going to eat until he comes. Boy, we'd all be panicking right then. I'd been saying, somebody go get that boy. David come in, and right then, Samuel knew, that's the man that's going to be king. He's going to be king. He proved himself time and time again. He was a good shepherd. He fought for the sheep. At the end, in one of the Psalms, David says it perfectly. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Everything that David was to Israel that day, I want you to put it in this psalm and think about it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in a path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So saith David in Psalm 23. David, the shepherd of Israel. Amen. And thank God for the son of David, the descendant of David, who's the good shepherd for us. We need to trust in the shepherd. This is a brand new year. We're in our third year of COVID, if you want to call it that. We've been through that for the last 2 years, and it's coming on again. Well, let me tell you something. There's still a shepherd looking out for each and every one of us. Amen. There's still a shepherd that fights for us. Amen. There's still a shepherd that can take COVID by the beard and lay it down flat. Amen. We need to trust in the shepherd. Amen. We need to trust the shepherd this morning. Amen. Thank you for your teaching. I believe it'll clear my heart. Brother Don, if you've got a song in your heart, come and bring it and share it with us. I invite you, each and every one of us today, to search your heart and ask if you can move up today to trust the shepherd more. Amen. Let's all stand.